Hey everyone, welcome to the Overflow Podcast, where pastor, author, speaker, and consultant Jim Stern explores various benefits and blessings of life lived in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love. There is so much to discover, to learn, to feel, and to see when God goes first and we live in the overflow.
All right. Let's go. This is Jim Stern. Welcome to another edition of the Overflow Podcast. We are seven sessions into our study of the Lord's Prayer. We're using my book, Brilliant, Unleashing Life Through the Lord's Prayer, as the spine of our conversation as we unpack and explore this incredible prayer, this incredible life-giving prayer given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you have found that as we're moving through this, you're gonna experience different struggles with different aspects of the Lord's Prayer. Some parts of it will be easy for you and harder for others, and some parts will be harder for you and easier for others. But there is, you can't go through the Lord's Prayer and not get challenged. You can't go through the Lord's Prayer and not get upended. And in one season of your life, one aspect of the prayer will be easy, and another season, that very same aspect will be brutally hard. Nevertheless, we get this genius prayer that Jesus has given us, so that every day that we wake up in the morning, we don't have to fumble around in our prayer life. We don't have to fumble around. We don't have to feel like a fool. We don't have to feel like an idiot. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to talk about. We can relax back in, grow in our wisdom and understanding of how to navigate through the Lord's Prayer and pray with power and pray with confidence. And then with that power and confidence, begin to pray that in the lives of other people. Pray with other people and they look at you and go, wow, man, that was powerful. That was powerful. Where'd that come from? It came from grinding out the Lord's Prayer in my life. Not only praying it, but praying it's easy. Living it is the hard part. And so we're in the seventh part. So far we've covered the importance of prayer even before we came to the prayer in the life of Jesus. Then we go, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we're going to get into the toughest part, but man, there's so many parts of this that are tough. This one's tough. This one is very tough. So we're going to pray. Jesus is going to teach us to pray every day. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. He is teaching us to pray that God our Father will be our provider of every single thing in our lives. Bread becomes just the foundation of our greatest need. What do we need in our lives? We need oxygen, but then we need food. We need food and water, the basic essentials of life. And Jesus is saying we are going to learn through the prayer how to live our lives in such a way that we are trusting in God our Father's ability to provide bread, to put food on our tables. So we're going to see a tremendous difference in life and perspective of life between bread making. I got to go out. I got to get up in the morning. I got to go to work. I got to make a certain amount of money so that I can provide a certain amount of bread. I got to go out so that I can make a certain amount of bread. That's bread making versus bread receiving. Bread receiving in the prayer, give me this day my daily bread. I'm asking my Father to give it. I'm asking him to give it so that I can receive it. And so there's a tremendous difference in life between bread making and bread receiving. And Jesus in this portion of the prayer is waking us up and is challenging us. How much do we depend on and how confident are we to trust in God our Father's ability to provide bread for our lives? Now, if we truly live surrendered to the will of God, if we say in the last part of the prayer, let your will be done, I'm going to be surrendered to the will of God. I'm going to start this day out with a blank sheet of paper and I'm going to say, God, my Father, let your will be done. We must be confronted with how is this bread thing going to work? Because if I live my life my way, my will, I know how bread works. I get up, I go to work, I offer a certain value to my company. They compensate me according to that value. I use whatever that value is. I use whatever my salary is to pay for all of my needs, according to my roof, my car, my phone, and bread. That's the way bread making works. I go to school, I learn a trade, I learn a skill in finance or marketing or whatever it is. I go to work and get my job. I get paid for it. I make my money, and then I use my money to provide bread. That's bread making. But man, when I live in the will of God, that doesn't work that way. Bread, the provision of bread in my life doesn't work that way. The provision of bread in my life, I wake up and I say, Father, whatever your plan is, if you want me to go to college, that's up to you. If you want me to learn finance, that's up to you. If you want me to go to ABC Company, that's up to you. Father, I'm surrendered to you in the name of Jesus for you to accomplish in me what you want to accomplish in me so that I can pray the Hallowed, your will be accomplished. When I got called, there was a major transition in my life. I was no longer working at the church where I was for 5 years, and I was thinking about quitting ministry and going into the working world. And God spoke and said, our Father spoke and said, I've got a plan for you. I want you to move from the suburbs where you are to as close to downtown as you can. And I want you to just to start making disciples. That's all I want you to do. I just want you to make disciples. That was the will of God, my Father, in my life. I want you to get down. This was 2010 or so. This is all my will. I want you to go downtown. I want you to leave the suburbs and go downtown. Well, in downtown Houston, which is where I live, living in downtown Houston is far more expensive than living in the suburbs. And my first thought was, man, this is powerful. This is the will of God, my Father, for my life. Instantaneously, right after that. Now, at the time, I'm married and I've got two kids, 4 and 2 years old. 4 and 2 years old. My wife's staying home, taking care of the kiddos, and is doing all that great stuff that only moms can do in these glorious and powerful ways. And yet God, my Father's just told me to leave the suburbs and go downtown. And I said, oh, this is the will of God. This is great. The very next thought is, how am I going to pay for this? My expenses just went up massively. I don't have any organizational support because I'm no longer a part of a church. I'm out here 100%. And I mean 100%. I'm out here all on my own. The will of God for my life. I better be convinced that his will for my life is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And I sure as heck better be convinced that God our Father can provide bread for me in my life. Whenever we live into the will of God, we are completely dependent on the bread of God for our lives. And here's the wonderful reality of this. Here's where our confidence as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ should just thrust past, like rocket fuel past, the confidence of any person who doesn't operate in the will of God. This is how this is supposed to work in our lives. If I live according to the will of God, then, therefore, wherever I am on any given day, the only reason I am there is because God my Father told me to be there. If God my Father tells me to go to work at XYZ Company, then the only reason I'm at XYZ Company is because God my Father told me to be there. If God my Father tells me to go downtown and start making disciples, then the only reason I'm there is because God my Father told me to be there. Therefore, if the only reason I'm there is because God my Father told me to be there, then who has the responsibility to taking care of me while I'm there? Well, it's God my Father. My Father told me to go there. It's his responsibility to provide for me while I'm there. Now, if God my Father told me to go downtown and I moved to another city, I'm no longer in the will of God for my life. I don't have the confidence of knowing that God my Father is obligated to take care of me. But if I'm in the will of God, then God my Father himself is obligating himself to you. He's obligating himself to me to take care of me. Father, you must take care of me because you told me to be here. And this is, we see this in scripture in great and wonderful and clear ways. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. If you've not read Deuteronomy chapter 8 in a while, or if you've never read it, or if you've not spent a lot of time in it, I used to have this memorized. I would encourage you to read this entire chapter, soak in it, marinate in it. You're going to see everything that we've been talking about. You're going to see the Lord's Prayer, will of God, just jump off the page. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is given by Moses to the nation of Israel as they wait to go into the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't trust in the will of God, and God needed to teach them more, and they needed an incubator and to stretch this out. And so they are still waiting to go into the promised land. Moses stands up and he gives this incredible proclamation. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he is recalling to the nation of Israel the lesson that God our Father was trying to teach them when he birthed them out of Egypt. The nation of Israel was in Egypt, was under Egyptian captivity, was in there for 400 years. God our Father delivered them by Moses The Red Sea happens, right? The parting of the Red Sea, the nation of Israel gets wiped out, the army of Israel gets wiped out. And now Israel, the nation of Egypt gets wiped out. Now the nation of Israel begins their wanderings in the wilderness. Now listen to this. This is Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 1, and following down to verse 10. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give your forefathers. You shall remember, watch this, you shall remember all the way in which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. That's Deuteronomy 8 verses 1 through 5, in which Moses is communicating to the nation of Israel the entire lesson that God our Father was trying to teach you in your wanderings, is that he is faithful to provide bread for you. You don't need a company. You don't need a vineyard. You don't need a daddy, like an inheritance. You don't need, all you need is trust in the faithfulness of God and obedience to his will for your life and wherever his will is. So again, we ask, why were the Israelites in the wilderness? The Israelites were in the wilderness because that was the will of God our Father for their lives. Therefore, because they were in the wilderness according to the will of God our Father was obligated to them to take care of them. And he did so in spectacular ways in which only he could get the glory. Do you see how that works? We fast forward to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 6, and we see the exact same teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he says, and I'm paraphrasing, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about those things. Now, that's pretty stark. How much of our life do we spend in anxiety worrying about those very things? Am I going to have enough clothes? Am I going to have a house? Am I going to have a house that I like? Am I going to have food? Am I going to be taken care of? I got to go work. I'm afraid if I don't work hard enough, I'm not going to be able to provide these things. I'm going to judge myself compared to other people and how they can accumulate goods versus I can accumulate goods. And Jesus just comes in and takes an axe whack to that very line of thought and says, don't worry about any of that stuff. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, or what you're going to drink, because your Father in heaven knows you need these things. But do this one thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. Do you see how that's layered into the prayer? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is a fancy Bible word for the completion, the totality of life that God our Father has for you. To live righteous is not just to live morally pure, but it's also just to live in the fullness of all that God our Father has for you. So I'm to seek first the kingdom and all that God my Father has for me. Do that, and all these things will be added unto you. That's layered into the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. So that the prayer rejigs us, it reorients our hearts and minds to live in the will of God our Father, so that we can relax back in to the provision of our Father's bread. In the will of God is the bread of God. And when you're in the will of God our Father, whatever bread you have is the bread that he knows that you need. All of your needs, down to the penny, are taken care of, are planned for, and accounted for in the will of God our Father for your life. So, properly understood, properly received, properly embraced, this aspect of the Lord's Prayer should begin to liberate us from our fear and our anxiety about making and having enough bread. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. What issues do you have in your life questions for you to ask in your small group or in your Bible study class or even just in your own as you journal, however you process what God our Father is doing in your life. What issues do you have of surrendering and trusting your bread needs into the hands of God our Father? How scary is that for you? How pragmatic is that for you? How uncertain are you in doing that? And to the degree that it causes you fear or anxiety, just pray and ask God our Father to give you assurance. Father, I want to do this. I'm afraid. Bread needs, I don't really get all of this, but Father, I want to be about your business on earth. I want to be about your will on earth as it is in heaven. Will you help me understand what it's like to live the life of the Israelites in the wilderness, that you will take care of me and all that I need in order for my life to be lived in a faithful way to you. I close our time together today in this episode of the Overflow Podcast from Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. And he says this, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to God our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." We'll be with you again next time.
Thank you for joining us in The Overflow. To find a blog connected to today's session where you can engage with Jim and others, go to trexo.org/blog. This podcast is made available through the gracious giving of people just like you. If you would like to help us bring more people into the healing waters of our Father's love, you can do so at trexo.org/donate. We will be back next week for another edition of Overflow.